I have some quick items to cover before our presenters get started, but first I'd like to recognize the people in our audience who served our country. Thank you very much. Our presenters welcome you to ask questions throughout the webinar. Please mute yourself during the webinar and be sure to unmute when you have a question. You can also type questions into the chat box throughout the webinar. This conference is being recorded July 16th, 2020, and will be available on the RWA website. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Izzy Abbas.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's great to have you all here, and I appreciate you tuning in for this RWA presentation. Just quickly, I'm an Army veteran. I was in the infantry, so strong back and weak mind. But I served for 8 years. I was back in the Desert Storm time frame. And following Desert Storm, I got into telecommunications, started off in the cable industry, and migrated into the mobile or the wireless space in 2004, and have been in that ever since. Joining me today are two other veterans. Actually, we've kind of cornered the market because everybody served in the Army. First person I'd like to introduce is John Nettles from Pine Belt. John?
Good afternoon. Appreciate the opportunity to be on this panel with you guys. I guess I'm here in a supporting role, kind of sort of similar to my military career, which was 6 years on active duty and a couple years in the Alabama National Guard. I was what they sometimes we affectionately call as a REMP, a rear echelon MFR. I was in the Ordnance Corps. Went through it. What led me to military service was a Sunday afternoon after an Alabama football game. I was talking to my dad, and he said, "Son, what are you gonna do when you get out of college?" And my response to that in my head was, I gotta give up this gig. I'm kind of enjoying it, Dad." So he sent me over to the ROTC department, got commissioned, went on active duty, and spent 6 years, and then came home and been working here at Pine Belt since '88. So I say that had I not done that 6 year training period about at least half of it in a troop leadership position, I would have been even way more unprepared for the job I'm in right now than I was. And so, I guess that's maybe lay the grid out, some groundwork for what Kelly and Izzy are going to talk about.
Thank you, John. Also joining us is Kelly Dunn, who's also an Army veteran and the CEO of Novation and founder of W4W, or Wars for Wireless. Kelly?
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Izzy. Thanks, John. Thrilled to be on the panel here. Also Army veteran. I was a Signal Corps. John, we weren't the front lines, but we would say you can talk about us, but you can't talk without us. So that's what they said about Signal Corps. But I was enlisted, and then I did a green to gold program where they plucked me out of the masses and they sent me to college, and then went back as an officer all in the Signal Corps, rolled out the first digital wireless system, way back mobile system in the Army, way back in the, mid to late 80s. Craig McCaw came and recruited three of the lieutenants that were planning and the planning design and the radio network planning division, which I was one of them. The other two went with Craig McCaw, and I stayed and went with AT&T, and the other two retired about 5 years later. So I just had a chance that early on in the wireless industry. I worked for AT&T and Bell Labs for 7 years. And then I started a CLEC with a group of people called One Point Communications. And then I, after that, I went to, basically started Digital Bridge Communications. And that was the first mobile 4G operator in the U.S. Did that for 5 years, did a lot in rural America, very close place in my heart for the smaller markets, was the third largest 2.5 spectrum holder in the U.S. Then I went left there, did a global nonprofit called One Economy. And then the last, 7-8 years, I've been the CEO of Novation Enterprises. I also am the co-founder and chairman of Warriors for Wireless. And the Warriors for Wireless is, we'll talk about a little more later, but it's become the wireless industry's kind of go-to effort to take transitioning military and veterans and get them transitioned into our industry, both in wireless and now in fiber. So we'll talk more about that later, but I'm thrilled to be here, excited about talking to everyone, and this should be a good conversation.
Great. So today we're going to talk about why veterans, how do they help your team, and also some of the benefits to your company by hiring veterans. And I'm going to be running through our slides here. So question always, a lot of people ask, why hire veterans? Well, first, not only is it attract a desirable workforce, but it's also a dependable workforce. I know John and Kelly can attest to this, that the veterans that they've had come in and work for them on different projects have been, and I can say that also, have been people that have allowed us to get jobs, tasks done quickly and done it with a dependable group of folks who can follow up on what they say they're going to do. Veterans in your workforce can positively influence the rest of your workforce, so they have a good reach beyond that, or the effect is beyond that. But probably what's most important to you all is they're beneficial to your bottom line, both through work opportunity tax credits and GI Bill apprenticeships, which can reduce your cost for employees as you get to know them and they get to become to work or come to work for your in your company. And finally, it's kind of key to our DNA in the telecommunications industry. If you look at a lot of the people who were very instrumental in starting our sector and the industry overall, they came out of the military. It was a great groundwork for them. And as John and Kelly both said, it was a great part of their upbringing. I'll tell you, for my part, it allowed me to accomplish a lot going forward. So this is what we're going to talk a little bit about today. But one of the things I'm going to do is just share with you a couple of quotes from folks that, military veterans who are working in the wireless sector, one of which happens to be Kelly Dunn on here. But these quotes, any veteran that's in a manager slot or any kind of leadership role at any organization in the telecom sector will rave about the veterans they brought in. And I know that when we were placing veterans, once we placed one, you'd get a call for three more veterans. They were very sought after. And this will all be available to you afterwards. And Michelle's gonna send it out. So one question a lot of people ask is, what does the military actually do? We all know that we've got the military. We know there are, a lot of people think they're off fighting wars, but it's a lot more than that. They protect the U.S. and our interests around the world. We've got over 800 bases outside the United States, and those bases may be three people and a radio. We've got military personnel in 160 countries around the continent, around the world, I should say. And there's also a continual fleet presence in every one of the oceans. In addition, they do disaster medical relief. They provide law enforcement in the sense of the Coast Guard. They research stuff. They do a lot of scientific research. And they're tracking space junk. So any object that's orbiting the planet that's bigger than a bread box, somebody is tracking that. It's actually down the street from where I'm at here in Colorado, down in Colorado Springs. So they do an awful lot. And just to give you a quick overview, here are all the military installations around the United States that we can talk about. And here's where they're at all around the world. You can see some of the big spots, especially in Europe. But you do have a big presence in the Middle East and obviously with Afghanistan and things like that.
I just want to interject one little stat right there. I looked it up yesterday just to confirm. There are over 190 different occupational specialties that soldiers are trained to do in the Army. I can't really speak to the other services. Didn't look it up, but just about every discipline in the business is represented in the armed forces.
Very true. And as I always like to say, for that one person standing in that piece of ground with the rifle, there's 13 people behind him, which are in different roles. There's that much differentiation in the military. Sorry. So, for comparison, I always like to talk about how big the military is and get people's thoughts on it. But just to give everybody an idea, in Inglewood, Colorado, we've got about 34,000 people who live there. Colorado overall, we've got about 5.4 million. In the U.S., there's 328 million. So really, what I'd like you to do now is just take a quick guess on how big you think the military is. There should be a survey that's coming up on screen right now that allows you to answer, and they're just size ranges. But with all that stuff that we have going on, guess how big the military is. And a lot of people are shocked to find out it's only 1.3 million. So it's less than one half of 1% of our nation. Usually I get a lot of answers like that 10 to 20 million or that 5 to 10 million.
I cheated. I answered it and I knew the answer. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's not
really data, data skewed.
I started to, but I...
Sorry about that, Izzy.
Oh, no worries. But that's how big the military is. And so, and what's interesting when you think about this, and Kelly and John and I were talking about this yesterday, you know, a lot of people think, oh, these are the guys who couldn't get into college and stuff like that. There's actually a quite, today's military is highly educated. They've got a lot of training. And Kelly, you were throwing out some numbers yesterday on the amount of money that's invested in men and women who join the military.
Yeah, that's actually a stat the Joining Forces Office came up with a couple years ago, but it's the basic E4, E5 that comes out of three of their first term enlistment. It's anywhere between $125,000 to $250,000, depending on their training or their specialty. And then if you talk some of the more advanced specialties or the special forces, et cetera, over the course of a 20-year career, for example, the military invests, you know, over $1 million in, you know, Navy SEALs and Rangers and special forces. So it's a really unique, often overlooked fact that you're, even if you get, you know, a 22-year-old kid that was served 3 or 4 years, you're getting someone that our taxpayers, you know, invested in up to $250,000 in. So, and it's around safety, discipline, work ethic, et cetera.
If you think about that, that's the functional equivalent of a college degree at a decent institution.
Exactly. Yep.
From a dollar standpoint.
Very much so.
Izzy, I would just want to put something out here is that we can talk about later, is that one of the biggest challenges we found in the last 8 to 10 years doing this is that, you know, the military and all the three of us and on the call would attest to is we're used to being overtrained, right? Our industry and a lot of industries have the problem of undertraining. And I think that's a challenge. And, you know, jokingly told John yesterday when we were talking is that we, John and I, even though we weren't infantry like Izzy, we could still disassemble and reassemble an M16 rifle because we had to do it 1,000 times. So part of the balancing act is that, and we'll talk about some of the programs we have of how do you get more repetitive, more structured training around the way that they're used to being trained as they transition in. So.
Good points. Just so everybody knows, there's three parts of the military. You've got your active duty components, which most people think of. Every state has a National Guard, including our territories that are out there. And every component has a reserve part of it, side of it. So usually, typically what happens is you serve active duty and you go into the reserves or the guard. National Guard, one thing on that, most people are used to them from, hear about them a lot. They respond to disasters within their state. They're actually under the leadership of the governor of the state until they're mobilized and deployed overseas for war. And the National Guards have Army and Air Force units. Military is comprised of three types of personnel. You've got officers, such as John and Kelly. You've got warrant officers. Those are extremely technical, proficient folks. And then you've got folks like me who are enlisted, who learned along the way. I did that. I did college while I was enlisted. So there you go. Officers make up 10 to 20% of the forces, but even those who are not officers are still highly educated. And in fact, for your senior ranks in the enlisted slots, you need to have a bachelor's degree at least, if not a master's degree for promotion. And this is becoming more and more the norm because we've got a highly that's out there, and they've got a lot of well for accelerated learning curve. They're used to learning under a different situation. What's that?
Izzy, I think your internet was going out there for a second. You seem to be back on track now. Yeah, he's frozen now.
Leadership. Leadership is focused on at all levels. It doesn't matter. Diversity includes broad cross-section of the military, representing all races, colors, creeds, everything. I always like to say that, do I see color? It's like, yeah, I do. You're a Marine, and I see blue if you're Air Force and Navy. But that's about as far as it goes, and a lot of people have that same feeling. Performance under pressure. Because they're used to having limited resources and a tight schedule, they're used to performing with an extreme amount of pressure on them. Loyalty. That's a big thing, because as we give these young men and women an opportunity and show them that they can come into our sector, our industry, they will be with us forever. And I know Kelly for sure can attest to people who won't go away because they've got such loyalty to the organization because it gave them that chance as they got out of the military. Like Pablo. Procedural, they know that systems exist for a reason. That's a big thing, especially as we're talking about some of the work we do in the telecom sector. And the last one I'm going to talk about is health. They're conscious of health and safety. Health and safety is drilled into us at every step of the way. So even though we do some dangerous stuff, we go about doing that work with health and safety in mind. This is extremely valuable to us as they come into our industry, because we're playing with some stuff that has a lot of power for it, right? And they need to be safe and take that seriously. One thing I always like to get into is a lot of people like to be veteran friendly. Hi, veteran, how are you? And the companies focus on going after understanding somebody's MOS, or military occupational skill. Unfortunately, an MOS, like mine was 11 Bravo. That means I'm infantry. Everybody knows I was infantry because I say, hey, I was 11 Bravo. Everybody gets that right away. But unfortunately, that MOS rating only covers a little bit of everything they do. And off the left here, you'll see a page from an NCOER, which is Enlisted Review, or an Officer Evaluation Report. These are evaluation reports. MOS is such a small part of that. And what is, really rated is their leadership, their ability to communicate, their ability to function effectively as part of a team. That's what's captured. So all those companies that focus just on MOS, they're missing this. And a lot of people think that they just need to, we just want to hire people with a communications MOS. And Kelly, weren't you saying that it's the combat arms veterans who are doing the best as tower climbers?
Yeah, it really is, because they're really starting from ground zero, and you can kind of train them. I biasly thought that the Signal Corps guys would be the best, but they kind of came in with a preconceived notion, and they were tougher to reach. You had to retrain them versus train them from the ground up. So really the combat arms and the Marines in general have been our best programs for best candidates for our programs.
And this shows also if you look at the Graduate Management Admissions Council, this is people who admit people into graduate schools like MBAs and things like that. Every year they do a survey of 500 companies and say, hey, what traits are you looking for in a new employee? What type of people do you want to hire? And if you look at the things, and you'd think a lot of it would be the technology skills or the analytical thinking and stuff like that, the things that they're really finding that are most attractive and they need the highest help in developing are the skills that men and women coming out of the military possess. Leadership skills, adaptability, interpersonal skill, communication skills. And this is something that a lot of it, we need to recognize why veterans make a great addition to our team as we go down the road and hire them. One thing I want to say, and this is my little soapbox that I get up on, is veteran-friendly versus veteran-supportive. I know there's a lot of initiatives to say, hey, we're a veteran-friendly company. Anybody can be veteran-friendly. Hi, veteran. How are you? It's another thing to be truly veteran-supportive. And that means you learn a little bit about it. You don't have to be a member of the military yourself, but you have to know what's going on. And some tips for making that happen, here's five. Here's tips to make your company a little bit, make it veteran supportive. Create a veteran employee resource group, EVRG. It's just a group for military veterans to get together once in a while and do something. Sometimes they'll take on a charitable project, they'll work with a food bank, or they'll serve dinners at a Fisher House or something like that. They'll come together and just meet up with one another. I will tell you this, when you have veterans in your workforce, they will pretty typically try to find each other. It's an accident in a lot of ways how it happens. But I've sat at tables and I'm just talking to the guys and all of a sudden it's like, where'd you serve? And then everybody at that table is a member, has been a member of the military. It's interesting how we attract each other. Secondly, create a veteran landing page or small section on an existing website that talks about, hey, we're committed to hiring veterans. We've got, you know, we'll give you mentorship. We'll give you, we understand where you're coming from. We want you to join us. Provide an introduction of military cultural training for your HR managers, your hiring managers, things like that. This is very easy to do. I think either one of the three of us would be happy to do that for anybody who's interested in starting up a veterans program. I know that the VFWs, American Legions, if you call them and say, hey, can we do something? Can you come talk to our staff about hiring veterans? They'll be more than happy to come in and do that. For a real easy one, celebrate branch birthdays. I will tell you honestly, aside from the Marine Corps, and they all walk around on November 10th saying happy birthday to each other, most of the other branches don't really care all that much or find it as a big holiday. I mean, I know the Army's holiday, or Army's birthday is June 14th, but I don't call up people and say happy birthday. Marines do that. But it's an easy way to say, hey, we recognize what's happened. Get a cake, have it in the lunchroom or something like that. Real easy way to do it. And then finally, connect with and cooperate with local VSOs, veteran service organizations in your community. There's over 29,000 VFWs, American Legions, AMVETs, DAVs, Military of the Purple Heart around the country. And they're always looking for ways to interact with companies. There's a prime opportunity for you out there. And one thing I want to say is, make sure you recognize not just veterans, but the entire SMVF community. That's service members, veterans, and their families. You know, the military families, they have endured a lot of the fear and worry and concern about their loved ones being deployed overseas. You know, and there's a lot of talk, you know, right now, more places are trying to help spouses enter the job force and things like that. But they face a specific challenge as well. So make sure you include the entire military, the family network in your outreach. Now, one of the big, showed you all the reasons why to hire a veteran or, you know, what they can offer for your team. But financially, it can be extremely advantageous to you as well. Because if you hire a veteran, depending on categories and stuff like that, and I am not an accountant, so you need to talk to your accounting department or your CPA or something like that. But you can get a tax credit of up to $9,600 for bringing veterans into your workforce. You know, and this is, you know, for in this period we're facing right now with COVID, there's a lot of people who qualified right away because of the unemployment or the employment situation that's gone on with COVID and things like that. Or if you've got people who may have a slight service connected disability. Like I've got a service connected disability, but it doesn't prevent me from doing a job. It's actually hearing loss. But there's a lot of chance for your company to benefit by bringing veterans into your workforce. And so you brought four veterans in, now you've all of a sudden got, you know, $40,000 worth of tax credits. That's a good hit to your bottom line. And then finally, just want to talk about a couple of programs. I'm going to have Kelly jump into a lot of this because he started Warriors for Wireless and I know he's very active with TIRAP. But this is the apprenticeship programs that are available to veterans with their GI Bill. And it's extremely advantageous because you can hire a veteran for, say, a lower salary, but because of their GI Bill, they get money from the government. And as they get training and get experience, their salary from the private company goes up and their, you know, the amounts paid by the GI Bill goes down. And Kelly, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir. And you're muted.
Yeah, I was saying, could you hear me okay? Obviously, no. Can you hear me okay now? Okay. Once again, Signal Corps at our finest. Yeah, just to back up a little bit what Izzy's saying, and I want to explain that, you know, we've developed probably the last 3 or 4 years a more comprehensive approach. So Warriors for Wireless was launched at the White House in 2013, I think. And really the focus is, you know, the around the industry and all the equipment manufacturers, the carriers, the tower companies. So on our board, we've got American Tower, Crown Castle, SBA. We've got Verizon, T-Mobile, you know, AT&T, and then we've got Ericsson, the Nokias, et cetera. So we have all of that, but it's really focused on, you know, really has its roots in initially for tower climbing, trying to solve a specific need. It's since evolved to other things, but it really focuses on just the front end training and recruiting. What Novation has done, and hopefully some other companies will do, is we've turned ourselves into what we call a veteran workforce development company. And so we take W4W-like programs and programs like we have on our own. And, you know, we've created a 6 to 8 month model. And what we've mirrored after is when, you know, John, Izzy, myself, or any evening people today coming to the military, your military transition education and kind of development is broken really into three phases. So you have basic training, and that's 6 to 8 weeks usually. And that's where you learn to, you know, march, your general orders, your sing cadences, your chain of command. It's how to be just a basic soldier. And then after you graduate from basic training in the Army, it's called AIT. In the Marine Corps, it's called A School. And that could be anywhere from 4 months to 6 to 8 to 12 months long, depending on your occupational specialty. And then after that, then that's when you go to your permanent duty station. So one of the things we've done is a couple of things. So I was a founding board member of TIRAP as well. And we went to the Department of Labor and we got a lot of the jobs that were in our industry were never classified under the DOL job codes. So therefore they would not have advantages of a lot of the funding, apprenticeship funding, et cetera. So we spent about 3 or 4 years getting all those established. So now tower climbing, you know, linemen, fiber, et cetera, all the different career tracks. And then secondly, what we did at Novation and we're doing now is we've looked at a comprehensive approach. So you come in like a W4W or a Novation program where you do your initial 6 to 8 weeks. That is completely paid by the GI Bill. Those programs are usually funded from the tune of $3,000 to up to $10,000 for the training piece of it. And then the veteran themselves using their GI Bill gets what Izzy referred to as the basic housing allowance. Because our programs are based out of DC, they get $2,300 a month in addition to their training pay. And then after that 6 to 8 weeks, they go into what we call the OJT portion, the apprenticeship portion, or we enroll them in a college or university program while they're working. So they're getting experience, they're getting a paycheck. They're also, you know, pardon the slang term, but we call that 6 to 8 months of get their shit together stage. And that means that they're, you know, not only integrating to the workforce, they're meant to be mentored by other veteran leaders. They're doing very defined tasks. We're helping them on the soft skills of communications, presentations, financial, responsibility, how to get their credit score up, how to integrate with teams, how to do small team leadership. And then at that point, after 8 months, then they've been working in the field, working for us or working at a partner company. Then they rotate to their quote, permanent duty assignment. They may continue with their apprenticeship or education, but we've gotten them through that first phase. And what we found in comparison of when we started this in 2013, the success rate, the retention rate, the adaptability and the trajectory that these guys that go through an 8 month program versus a 2 week program is far greater. And so one of the things we're doing, and we're hoping to work with RWA on it, is we're looking at national projects that we can kind of build what we're calling a national warrior workforce. So we're really looking at, you know, things like the, you know, rip and replace with the Huawei and ZTE gear. How do we do the front end training? How to recruit people from the markets that are going to have this project, put them through 6 to 8 months training, and then deploy them back to where they're from so that then they can grow their careers in the, you know, the locations where they live. We're looking at decommissioning. We're looking at site surveys. We're looking at swapping out FCC signs. And all the time they're going through that very straightforward job, you know, integration, they're doing all the other training and all the certifications they need. So then when they hit that 8 to 12 months, they're really ready to accelerate. And I think that's a really exciting thing we've just been starting to roll out for the last 2 years. And if you think about, you know, Izzy's statistics from before, you know, there's about 250,000 veterans that cycle out every year, about 20,000 a month. Of that 20,000, a certain percentage are, you know, officers, senior NCOs that have government jobs, or some that are just going to retire. But of the subset of that is probably 5 to 10,000 that really are lost, that really don't have that transition plan in place. And they're looking for not just a job, of a career. And so if we get to those folks and put them through a 6 month program, and then work with the industry to place them after they've been fully trained and acclimated, it's an incredible success story. And the last thing I'll end with is that a lot of people, you know, fail to realize is that, you know, even if you're in a remote place like rural Alabama or Northwest Oregon or wherever a lot of these rural wireless companies are that I've worked with the last 20 years, is we can find veterans that are coming out that either are from your area or would love to live in your area because they love to hunt or fish, or they're Roll Tide fans, they want to live in Alabama, whatever it may be. And they're coming from everywhere, not only in the United States, but around the world. And if we get to those guys and gals, that's a workforce that we can train, but then eventually when they're assigned back to their permanent duty station, which could be right in your backyard with your company, then they've had all their training experience paid for by their GI Bill, but also their final move is paid for up to 2 years of their separation date. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make this national warrior workforce. And what's frustrating and exciting for me is I think we have some of the best jobs in the economy. We just have to put these structure and mechanism in place to get people where they need to be. But we need to make sure they're trained and developed the right way and not just thrown over the transom and, the, you know, 3 weeks later they're climbing 200 feet in the air with an untrained top hand or lead. It's a really systematic approach, and that's something we're just rolling out right now. So all these things you see up on the screen with TIRAP, WI, and W4W, those are three of several different organizations that have been established, and a lot of it modeled after W4W on how we're going to roll out this workforce. So, Izzy, I hope I covered what you needed me to.
Yep. No, that's great, Kelly. Thank you. Hey, Kelly, just to speak to Kelly's point, I know when I was doing a little bit of advisory work for W4W, and we would place a veteran, I remember one time I got a call, and this guy specifically wanted veterans to work somewhere between Sacramento and Reno. And we found some veterans for them, and the veterans that we put in those positions were happy to go there. They were excited that they found something close to where they grew up. So he's right there.
Yeah, I'll use John as an example. Like John's looking for a radio tech in his company in Alabama. So General Kennedy is a retired two-star Air Force general, awesome guy, and just as all in running Warriors for Wireless out. So he took over for me, has done a much better job than I was doing, and he basically is built this thing up, and he will. They're screening, I think, 20,000 applicants a month, and of the 20,000, 2,000 to 3,000 are interested. Even if only a few go into the program, he will route both resumes and graduates of the program that are interested in where you have the jobs, and this is a free service, so it's no cost to you. And John, you're ready to get probably 4 or 5 vetted resumes. Some have gone through the training, some are looking to go through the training. So just for your one position, and all of them have been screened and want to live in that part of the world, and also want to be in this industry. And I think that's pretty exciting.
I find that rather exciting and encouraging. In fact, just for the audience, this is new. This will be new for me. I just learned about all this through the invitation to take part in this webinar. So appreciate it.
Yep. And Izzy, just the thing to add is that we've gone beyond wireless, but it's the fiber jobs as well. So I know a lot of the companies in the RWA have both wireless and fiber deployments. And there's, the billions that are going to get spent in the Rural Development Opportunity Fund, the state funds, the FCC funds, of all the build out for both 5G and fiber. The programs we have are both those components. And like I said, these are great jobs for these men and women that served our countries and deserve to have these careers.
Totally agree. With that, we're going to open up to questions, but John, Kelly, and myself have put our contact information up here if you would like it. And I have assurances from them that feel free to reach out to them. They'll respond, or they'll tell me to respond to you. But with that, I'll open up to any questions.
I have a question. Do you need to be a veteran to hire veterans?
Absolutely. No, not at all.
Yeah. So it's like a hurdle race. If the veteran and non-veteran start off running and the end goal is to provide great service and create a partnership with that veteran, the veteran just has 4 less hurdles he has to jump over. But at the end of the day, you're going to get to that same end point. As long as they know that you're sincere and honest, they'll love working with you and they'll be extremely loyal down the road. Thanks for the question.
Thank you.
Hey, Izzy, I had a question, more of a comment too. The thing we didn't touch on is we talked about the GI Bill and Voc Rehab, but the other resource available is workforce development funding. So Izzy had on one of his slides tax credits, but there's also in every county and every state, there's workforce development funding that's set aside for what's considered displaced workers. And I think about 7 years ago, or might be 9 years ago, that there was a law passed that said, when you're transitioning out of the military, you're considered a displaced worker. So you're eligible for these funds. So even folks that may not have their GI Bill benefits or don't want to use those, there's additional bucket of funds that you can get training dollars for veterans because they're considered a displaced worker. And that can be up to $5,000 or $7,000 per student or per person, based on where you're from and what you're training them for.
Michelle, there was a question in the chat. You probably saw it about the contact info.
Yes. So, here it is. And
I understand the video was getting choppy, so I cut my video.
And I'll have access to that. So if someone needs it at a later date, you're welcome to email mgiroux@ruralwireless.org.
How did our poll turn out?
Good. Let me see.
Any updates?
There we go. Can you see that?
Yep. Looks like a few people knew.
Pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
Any more questions from the audience?
Thanks, Tizzy, for leading us through.
No,
that. You did a great job.
Yeah, and I will be on the phone with you shortly, Izzy, and see what we can work on. It's a very, very good webinar. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. That does conclude the webinar for today. You can visit ruralwireless.org webinar page next week for access to the recording and the PowerPoint. Thank you for participating today.
Thanks for putting this together.
Thanks so much.
All right.